Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
From the Tech Sideline High Tech Studios in Blacksburg, Virginia, it's Tuesday, March 26th, 2024, and this is TSL Today. We hope you enjoy our audio format of TSL Today as we focus on a quick and easy news update on everything Hokie sports for your commute home. I'm your host, Carter Hill, and today we'll sit down with managing editor David Cunningham to talk Kenny Brooks leaving Virginia Tech for Kentucky and what could be next for Tech Women's Hoops. That's all coming up next on TSL Today. This episode of TSL Today is brought to you by The Hokie Way. The Hokie Way supports student athletes in leveraging their name, image, and likeness to amplify the mission of charitable organizations as a way to give back to the community. Your contributions to The Hokie Way support Hokies NIL are tax deductibles. Visit thehokieway.org to learn more. All right, and with that, let's welcome in our managing editor, David Cunningham. David, it is a very rainy day here in Blacksburg, Virginia, and it just has me thinking, what are we going to talk about? But no, after an ACC tournament title, ACC regular season title, Final Four appearance, and winning about 70% of his games here at Virginia Tech, Kenny Brooks is off to be the next head coach at Kentucky. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, It's very interesting. It felt like this was in the works. It felt like this was coming. Kenny has not spoken at Kentucky yet, so you know he hasn't had a chance to talk about why he decided to leave. Virginia Tech announced the news, and then Kentucky put out a press release, and there was the picture of Kenny, the graphic of Kenny Brooks wearing Kentucky stuff, Kentucky blue, and it just didn't sit right. But no, in all honesty, it's weird. It's tough. Kenny Brooks was a first class person for the entire time he was here, and I'm very curious to when he gets a chance to speak. I'm very curious to hear what he says. I assume it was just he felt like it was the time in his life to make that next decision, but. It's a big blow for Virginia Tech. From everything I know, Tech made a very, very competitive offer. I was told on Monday night that Tech offered him at least, if not more, than a 50% raise, which would have put him around $1.5 million, I believe, which would have jumped him into the top 10 of active head coaches. Like, it wasn't, let's not act like Tech wasn't trying to make an offer. Now, where it might differ is Kenny Brooks is going to be a top three paid head coach in the SEC, according to The Athletic. Well, that's anywhere from what Kim Mulkey and Don Staley are making at $3.1 million to what Tony Taylor is making at $1.5 million. Now, Vic Schaefer from Texas joins the league, and I believe he's making around $2.5 million. But it could be anywhere between $1.5 million and $3 million. And if it's towards the north side, I was told that Virginia Tech would be interested willing is the right word. Could Tech go a little bit north of $2 million to try to keep him if it really wanted to. But like I said, Tech made an offer, and from what my gut feeling is that it didn't really matter about the money. I think the money was a bonus. When we find out Kenny's contract, obviously we'll share it. But I think the money, what he's going to be making now, is a bonus. I think it would not shock me if, like, my feeling is that he was just ready for a new opportunity. He was ready to move on. He was ready to start the next chapter of his life. He's 55. He's never left the Commonwealth of Virginia. He was born in Waynesboro, played at JMU. was a men's assistant at VMI, was a men's assistant at JMU, then the women's assistant, then the women's head coach. Then he comes to Blacksburg, right? He's never left Virginia. Now he's going from one Commonwealth to the other. But like, if there was ever a time to leave, it was now. And it stings. Stings for all Virginia Tech fans. You know, like I think before we started recording, I had over 90 comments on my story from this morning, which is ridiculous. Now, it's funny because I don't even know if there were 90 people in the stands 5 years ago at Kenny's games. What he has done for this program and this community is life-changing. And but it's weird because women, unlike men's basketball, where everything is extremely competitive, not the women's game isn't, but there's more parity right now. There's more parity right now. And what stood out to me, I think I said this on the podcast the other day, what stood out to me is what Kenny Brooks said on Sunday night, which was after Tech lost, he said, he mentioned the Final Four and said, we prove we belonged. So to me, when I look at it, it's not that Virginia Tech can't make the Final Four because it proved it could. And he's raved about, you know, maybe he was just talking to talk, but he raved about how good the ACC was as a conference. And I think his coaching style fits better in the ACC than it does in the SEC. The SEC is a brutal physical game. One of the most frustrated I've ever seen him was after the LSU game in Baton Rouge. You were there with me. That was in November. You know, that physical play, it's going to be an everyday thing in the SEC. Is he ready for it? He has to be. But I think at the end of the day, it didn't really matter. My take on it is this. I don't know if it really mattered what Virginia Tech gave him, because I think he kind of had his mind made up that he wanted to leave. Yeah. And as bad as that sounds, we're talking about like yes, to almost everybody around, or everybody that's going to listen to this, Kenny Brooks was the Virginia Tech head coach for 8 years. That's who he was. He obviously, you know, had a big place in this community. But for some, you know, for his family, Kenny Brooks is a dad or a brother, and he has to do what he feels like is best for him and his family. But he also is somebody who, like I said, is 55 and maybe has goals and dreams. And you don't know, only he knows what those are. You don't know what those are. Maybe he's always wanted to coach in the SEC. Maybe he'll say that on when I assume he dresses the media on Wednesday or Thursday. Only he can answer those questions. But Tech made a competitive offer. And that's all from, if you're Virginia Tech, I saw people were in my mentions saying Whit Babcock should be fired and whatnot. And we're talking to Whit at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning on Wednesday. But from everything I know, Whit Babcock did everything he could to keep Kenny Brooks. Offered him what he could offer or more. And if you're a Virginia Tech fan, it's tough, but you can't compete with that kind of SEC money depending on what he's making. Now, again, this is all a little hypothetical, a little, because we don't know what exactly he's going to be making yet. But I think it's just a tough situation all around, and you know, he made some really good memories in Blacksburg.
It's crushing to a lot of people because, like you said, the impact that Kenny Brooks has made on so many people here is immense. And I think, I mean, you know it firsthand. You've covered the team since your second, or since his second year at Virginia Tech, and you were a freshman in college here at Virginia Tech. You just mentioned you covered the WNIT, his second year at Tech, and it was just you and Mark Berman in the media room. Look at what Virginia Tech women's basketball has become under him. And again, not to be dramatic about it, but it really is tough for a lot of people because he's one of the best coaches to have ever coached at Virginia Tech. He's the best women's basketball coach in Virginia Tech athletics history, in my opinion. I think it's debatable with Bonnie Hendrickson and maybe a couple others as well. But at the same time, I don't know. It's just tough to see happen. But again, I don't think it's that overwhelmingly surprising. The only thing, and I told you this off air, the only thing that does maybe surprise me a little bit is because his roots are here. You mentioned, I mean, he has been in Virginia his whole entire life. Two of his three daughters have graduated from Virginia Tech and played under him. His third one is currently playing for him at Virginia Tech, and now my guess is probably at Kentucky. His future son-in-law is Hunter Couture. And now I'm not saying Hunter Couture swayed him either way, but my point is he's got a lot of connections to Virginia Tech that are going to last forever. And now he's going to Kentucky. That was the only thing that was surprising to me, but I'm curious to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's just interesting. Like that was the one thing I thought would maybe keep Kenny here. That and the family atmosphere. He's been close to his family in Virginia his whole entire life. I remember when he first got here, and I believe he had to convince Chrissy, his wife, to stop teaching because, like, that's just kind of their lifestyle at the beginning of it. Kenny was a basketball coach. Chrissy was a teacher. And I thought those ties might keep him here. But one, money does talk. But two, goals and dreams are also important. And let me relate to this for a second. I am 24. I'm going to be 25 in June. And I don't really share this stuff because, you know, it's funny because, like, you know, we all, when I say we all, anybody that's not in, like, the world of sports or, like, some big time prominent person probably looks around for job offers all the time. But, you know, nobody cares because it's like
the corporate world.
Yeah. I mean, nobody cares because you're not paying him. I mean, you could be paying him a couple million dollars, but like, but it's a little bit different because it's not athletics. People get so tied to athletics. But from my point, I've had a couple opportunities to, like, people have asked me if I'd be interested in this X job or Y job or whatnot. And I have seriously thought about them. Now, I'm obviously still here.
But David, like, Cunningham is not leaving.
No, but I'm serious. But I'm somebody, I grew up in Newport News. I've, Yorktown, Newport News, 757. I lived in that area up until I went to college at Virginia Tech, and I've lived here my entire life. I've never left the Commonwealth of Virginia. But there might be some point in time in my life where I'm like, I want to try something new. And I seriously have thought about it, you know, when stuff comes across my desk, I get an somebody texted me this week and was like, what do you think about this job? And I was like, let me think about it. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. Right. But there might come a time where I am ready for it. And I think that is the part that nobody else can understand except for Kenny, that maybe this was the time, right? When Buzz Williams left, Buzz always wanted to get back to Texas. He's from Texas, from that area. He always wanted to get back there. It made sense. It was a move that made sense. Like Texas A&M, this move is a little bit different because it's almost the exact opposite, but similar in nature, opposite in the ties, right? Kenny doesn't have Kentucky ties. Kenny has Virginia ties, but he left those to go take a job. But maybe that was, not that Kentucky specifically, but maybe the SEC was his dream. If he wants to go compete for a national championship, maybe he thinks there's a better opportunity to do that there than at Virginia Tech, which I would say is not completely off base, but maybe a little bit surprising given Tech was able to compete last year. But I think that's the part we don't know. And we'll never, unless he says it, we will never get a chance to know. But you talked about what he meant to this community. I mean, he turns a football community into, for at least part of the year, a women's basketball community. And the support that team got, that program got from Virginia Tech fans all across the country. I will never forget going out to Seattle last year for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, and there are Virginia Tech fans everywhere. It's like, what in the world? Like, it's so interesting, man. I don't think anybody, not that people never cared about Virginia Tech women's basketball, but it was always kind of an afterthought, even when Tech was winning. You know, like, it was fun in the 90s when Tech was really good. You know, but Kenny didn't just turn Virginia Tech into, it wasn't like, oh, like, we'll win on occasion. It was like Virginia Tech became a powerhouse quickly. And I say quickly, maybe I shouldn't use that word. Virginia Tech became a powerhouse slowly, but quickly turned into a champion.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech got, you know, 120, Kenny won 20 games in all but 1 year here. The one was during COVID when it was a shortened season and they didn't play some games because of the pandemic. Because teams were postponing left and right. But it's just interesting, man. Like, he built something here. Now I'm curious whether the next coach can sustain it. And by sustain it, I mean sustain the fans, sustain that level of interest. It's going to be hard, but if you can prove that you can win here, he showed that the fan support is there. And I think what maybe the most impressive thing is the people he inspired, the young boys and girls, the grandparents. I mean, like, he inspired so many people with those players. Those players played such a large part. Elizabeth Kitley, who tweeted about, you know, Kenny's hiring a little bit ago, saying, love you. Like, Elizabeth Kitley and Georgia Amor and Kayla King and those players were just so instrumental to what he built here. And maybe he wants to, maybe he always had it on his mind he wanted to build something again. Sometimes, Chris Coleman wrote about it today, sometimes sustaining it is harder than building it. And, you know, only he can answer that question. But I did have to give a shout out to Jack Brisendine, who gave us Brooks and Dunn, the headline Christian story. That was all Jack Brisendine's idea.
Okay.
But he texted me and was like, that's what you should have named your headline. And I was like, we'll use that in Chris's story.
There you go. Now, it's one of those things where I go back to his first year. There probably were 1,200 people in the stands for his first game, if I had to guess. It was $120 at the cheapest to get into his last regular season game at Virginia Tech. I remember, David, that day, the North Carolina game, College Game Day in town, when you tweeted out a video of you walking from essentially Tech Softball Park across the street, right by Lane Stadium, all the way down to Castle Coliseum to show the line to get into that game. You don't see that everywhere. And yes, Liz Kitley, Georgia Amor, Kayla King played a huge role in that. But Kenny Brooks was the one that inspired all of that. And so that, and I apologize for being a little repetitive, but I think that is where the shock factor comes into play. Like, oh my gosh, Kenny Brooks is actually gone.
And I think a lot of people will wonder why he's leaving.
Yes.
And again, only he can answer that. Is it for the money? Is it for the resources? Is it because that's the next step in his journey? Only he can answer that. All I will say is that I don't think it's for the money. And maybe it's for the resources, but from everything I know, Tech tried to do its best to keep him, made him competitive offers, right? If you're there, I think the money was there if Kenny Brooks wanted it. But maybe this was just in the cards. This is how he always thought about it. Maybe he always wanted to go to an SEC school and try to build it, right? Only he can answer that. But what he built here was special. And I mean, maybe one of the greatest two, three year runs Virginia Tech basketball has ever had. I mean, you could look at Buzz Williams teams. Those were really good. But like, we're talking about back-to-back ACC championships, one in the tournament, one in the regular season. Like, that just doesn't happen. And the fan support has been unreal. He got the right players in. Maybe the most impressive part to me was the fan support, but also at the beginning of it, he had to get the players to buy into a vision, and he got them to buy in. Elizabeth Kitley and Kayla King and George Amor, you know, when they committed, there wasn't really anything here, and they turned it into something. And, I am appreciative that he gave me, you know, so many opportunities to cover the program and was always honest with me. That's not saying that we didn't have a disagreement or two, but we were always professional. He was always professional and classy. He was always professional and classy. And, I thought he always carried himself well. I was there again at the, you know, you mentioned WNIT. I was there. And I was there at his last game, and I was there I remember he, after the ACC championship, you know, he hugged me after the tournament final last year and thanked me for being there and for covering this team and said, we could not do it without you. And I remember being in Seattle last year where he was not escorted by somebody from tech to the press conference. He had to find it there himself. And then afterwards, he couldn't figure out how to get back to the locker room. So he and I walked around the arena for 3 or 4 minutes and it was just him and I talking as I basically escorted him back to the locker room. Just such a genuine person. And I could not say more about him. And he was instrumental in my career in 33 or 4 in VTSMA. And he was so fun to cover. And I'll miss it, honestly. I'll miss him. He meant a lot to my career. He was, you know, he could have been not nice, I should say, if he really wanted to, but he was always genuine and he always appreciated me being there, even when I was a freshman and didn't ask any questions. I was scared. I was nervous, you know, and I would not, like, my professional development, a lot of it goes back to being around him and covering his programs for so long. So I'm happy for him. Obviously, it sinks for Virginia Tech, but I'm curious as to what's going to happen next. And I don't think Virginia Tech women's basketball is just going to turn into a program that doesn't exist anymore. It's not going to, I think Whip Babcock has a chance to really strike gold here. And people are saying, find the next Kenny Brooks. I would say, you know, find the next person that's really going to breathe energy into the program. And maybe there's somebody that wants this to become their permanent place. But you can't, you know, if that was Kenny's destiny, you know, the only person that knows for that for sure is him. But at the end of the day, you know, he has to do what's in best interest for himself and his family. And, you know, unfortunately for Virginia Tech, you know, that's not here. But I think you can still, you know, I think you can be upset about that, but also still be grateful for what he brought and what he did. And, you know, just some of the most amazing moments I think a lot of people around here have experienced in the last couple of years.
Real quick, because I know you got to hop on a radio interview in just a second, but what's next for Virginia Tech? And on top of that, are you fearing kind of a mass exodus? Because I know a lot of people are concerned about what the roster is going to look like next year. So kind of your thoughts there, and maybe who is Virginia Tech going to potentially bring in?
Max exodus, yes. I would expect it. I replied to somebody earlier on Twitter and said, I would expect most, if not all, to leave. And if somebody stays, you should be grateful. You should be grateful and thank them for staying. I don't mean that in a demeaning way or anything. I just mean, like, this, understand the day and age we live in, right? We all saw what Claire Strack did, and I'm just using her as an example. She's from Buffalo. Syracuse could come calling and offer NIL money, and she maybe gets to go play at home if she wants, right? Or she could follow Kenny Brooks. I think there's going to be a handful that will. I think there's going to be a handful that go other places. I have not looked at Kentucky's roster. I don't know what Kentucky's roster looks like, but it would not shock me if a bunch of them followed him there. And that's expected in this time, in the era of the transfer portal, of NIL. That's expected. And if somebody stays, and I expect somebody to stay, but I don't know who it's going to be. It's an unknown path, and there are so many young, talented kids on there. They could go anywhere. There are so many kids that could go anywhere in the country and play. So I don't know what happens, but it also depends on who Tech brings in. Maybe the coach that comes in convinces them to stay, right? But a lot of times you can commit to the coach. You don't commit to the school. You do both, but like you have to like where you're going. You have to like the school, but like you have to, you know, just like Justin Robinson, I think said it on Twitter, actually. He's like, I didn't really commit to Virginia Tech. I committed to Buzz. Like, he did commit to Virginia Tech, but he went there because of Buzz Williams. And if Williams wasn't there, I don't know if he would have necessarily come. So it's quite interesting. It's an interesting predicament. As for who Virginia Tech might hire, Chon Poppy's at Clemson, so that's, you know, that was made official earlier today. I don't, that's out of possibility. You know, I'm hearing a bunch of names that range from the head coach at Rice to the head coach at Marshall, who we saw recently. Would not be surprised if they took a, he took a swing at, you know, at head coach from Richmond or the head coach from Belmont. There are a bunch of really, really good mid-major coaches, the JMU head coach. But I also think Whit Babcock could really surprise some people. Like I said, strike gold and go after a sitting P5, P6 coach that maybe should be making more money than they currently are. But I think there's a lot of options, and you know, only Whit Babcock knows what's really, really going on right now. And I would not count him out yet. He's made good decisions hiring good coaches in the past.
Time will tell. Time will tell. David, thanks for hopping on. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man.
That's David Cunningham. I'm Carter Hill, and that was your Tuesday installment of TSL Today.